It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And kind of philosopher this week, Daniel. You're going to get into some of the...
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Some of the more metaphysical aspects of a subject we've been dealing with last few shows. How people tend to create a spouse they can't love. You want to kind of talk about maybe the mind games that go into this.
Actually, yeah. I wanted to take, if possible, in some upcoming shows, and I'm not quite sure how this will work out, but I kind of want to take people on a journey with me. The topic that I had just recorded, creating a spouse that you can't love. And I think during that last show, I mentioned that there were a lot of issues that kind of come into play here. We mentioned family of origin and different things like that. But actually, this idea of the broader topic of marriage, it incorporates so many issues and areas that we maybe have previously thought of as personal things, or we've kind of categorized or compartmentalized these things. But I'm just intrigued on how they all flow together and how there's so much overlap, and you can't, it's like a finger puzzle or tiddlywinks. You can't just move one thing or approach one topic, mm-hmm. yeah, without considering the other. So I had a short list of things that the other day I was thinking about this and just thinking about all the things that converge. And actually, it was encouraged by conversation that I've had with a longtime close friend, and I hope to be doing some dialogue with him in some future shows. But let me just read off a couple of things. So what we're going to do today, the show today, is actually a monologue that I did on my own, just converging some of these thoughts. And
with your MP3 player.
I've got a handy little recorder here. But some of these things that kind of merged into my mind, and I want to start to address them. And again, I want to take the listeners on a journey with me, and might be surprising. We're going to touch on a lot of things: the purpose of marriage, Paul's great mystery, we're the bone and flesh of Christ, the ministry of pain, and something that might interest us, the prayer as the neurotransmission of the central nervous system of the body of Christ. Again, creating that spouse you can't love. All these things tie in together, and maybe some other ones. So I'd like to kick this off with that leader.
Okay.
And what you'll be hearing now is the monologue, and maybe some more of these in the future. So
okay, let's hear it. Let's get into this.
With regards to a particular topic that I did a radio show on not too long ago. The name of the topic itself was creating the spouse that you cannot love, which is something that counselors, pastoral counselors, mental health counselors, marriage counselors run into a lot. It appears almost as though you're working with the personality disorder, and in fact, that's a discussion that has to be had too. I would say every conflict in marriage is a personality conflict, and disordered personalities are at the root of that. But disordered personalities introduce another, there's something fundamental that leads to disordered personalities, and that is, to take the shortcut, worldview, our point of reference. So the point of reference enters into is fundamental to this whole idea of creating a spouse that you can't love, and that is a large topic. But it's almost like it has it branches out into many different discussions, all of which are necessary discussions. It is the reason why that we create a spouse that we cannot love is not, it's not, you can't have that discussion in an hour. you could write books on the various factors that that have to do with that, creating a spouse that you can't love. There are all kinds of all relationships that we have, in a sense, are created distances. And so one of the things that we're doing when we create a spouse that we cannot love is creating this distance, which has to do with personality and has to do with safety and security, has to do with value, control, and power, and so many of the other things that I've talked about in radio shows and that are just part and parcel. You really cannot take part some kind of relationship or some part of human experience and separate it from the whole issue of death and dying and mortality and the reach for immortality and the need for safety and security and distancing relationships and angers and addictions and all these kinds of things all enter into this. And of course, the way we view ourselves as humans and the way we view God, that basic worldview, is the lens through which we see all of this. And there's a dividing point. There's a fork in the road. We either have a secular worldview or we have a biblical worldview. And this idea of creating a spouse that you can't love has to do with, even Christians do this too. But what they don't realize is that they have a secular worldview. They don't have a Christian worldview, because a Christian worldview would not lead you to the place where you're distancing in your relationships and you're trying to protect yourself. And protecting yourself means that, unfortunately, in some way or other, you attack other people or you would devalue other people in order to protect yourself. A Christian worldview would not lead to that. Only a secular worldview would lead to that. And this brings up many topics, and one of the topics that it brings up is very interesting, believe it or not, has to do with metaphysics and metaphysics. Because part of the secular worldview that Christians have fallen into and not realized, that they never understood Paul's revelation of the body of Christ. Now, he speaks of the great mystery, and people have just explained this great mystery away. What is the great mystery of Paul? Oh, they say that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Oh, okay, the great mystery explained away. Good, just like that. No more mystery. There's no mystery in that, and I won't go into this ad nauseum, and I've talked about this before. There's nothing mysterious about a photograph and saying that, you know, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And as a matter of fact, that had nothing to do with it. Paul's revelation of the body of Christ was indeed a great mystery. And what he's talking about there is that we are, in fact, the bone and flesh of Christ. That's a mystery. It was a mystery to Paul, and it should be a mystery to us. And it leads us to this exploration of the idea that, and understanding the idea that the body of Christ is not an analogy, which is the way the secular worldview treats it, as an analogy. Now you say, well, does the secular worldview treat the body of Christ at all? Yes, and yes, it does. It treats it as something that it is not. It treats it as an analogy, a mere analogy. The body of Christ is not an analogy. It's a metaphysic. Reality. Now people say, well, is metaphysics reality? And yes, that's when we come to an understanding of what metaphysics is, explained in one of John Polkinghorne's books, and I forget which one it was, but John Polkinghorne is talking about what metaphysics need to be. And a lot of people, when we think of metaphysics, we think we're talking of Casper the Friendly Ghost or alchemy or theories of life on other planets or mythology and those kinds of things. That's not what metaphysics is. Metaphysics is, of course, the term means above physics or beyond physics. But metaphysics is not just spiritual hunches. Metaphysics is a very a realm of truth that is not physical, not tangible. However, it does rely on physical or metaphysical rules and laws. The only problem is we don't know what those rules or laws are, but they have to follow rules or laws. The nature of God, for example, is metaphysical, but it's not lawless. And so how can we understand laws of metaphysics? The closest we can really get to laws of metaphysics is they should follow along, or they should reflect laws of physics that we know to be true. Now, do we know the laws of physics to be true? You could argue that we don't, that everything that we see physically is filtered through an understanding that's imperfect. But again, as Polkinghorne, in quoting, and I wish I could remember the quote, but basically saying that the human nature, the human intellect, has a history of being able to hit on the truth of matters, and you could say that God designed us to search for Him and to understand Him, and not to be misled or confused. Paul said that everything about God, even His eternal power and Godhead, can clearly be seen in what He has made. We were designed to seek for God, but also to understand and to find God. So I think that we can see, we can understand certain physical laws. They can be proved to be true or false, and the metaphysics should follow that. It's a fractal principle, because God only has one nature, and when He unfolds in creation and He creates the nature that we see, so that what we see in nature reflects the character and the nature of God in some way, even the human immune system reflects something of the nature of God. And so when we understand that the body of Christ is not an analogy, it's a metaphysical reality. It's a living organism, but a metaphysical living. Now, it's also living in the sense that we are lively stones, the body of Christ. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so the body of Christ is not entirely metaphysical. It's real people. But there's a metaphysics within the body of Christ that we have to understand is very much like the metaphysics within the body of Christ is, in a fractal way, very like the system within the human body.
And things sounding a little different this week. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor was reminiscing to his MP3 player some of his thoughts on how to create that spouse, or how we create people in our lives that we can't possibly love. Daniel, again, tell us a little bit about what we've been listening to, or what we're going to continue to listen to also in a moment.
Well, what we're listening to is it's an impromptu recording of some connections I've been making between things like pain and the body of Christ, and also marriage. I've touched on that series that I had just followed up. But if you've heard the Sound Mind show, you're probably picking up on some other themes in this too as we go along. Of course, these thoughts aren't fully developed. They're just as they come into my thoughts. By the way, I mentioned in this show a John Polkinghorne book, and I couldn't recall the name of it. That was Science and Providence.
Okay.
And also I made mention of a man's ability to hit on the truth of things rationally. Those were from the thoughts of a Dutch philosopher, Bas van Frassen.
Okay.
And so I apologize for the awkwardness there.
Do you have quite a large library? I would think you probably have a ton of books.
Yeah, I have. I should get rid of some books. I have a lot of books. I read a lot of books at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
a few pages here, a few pages there.
Well, people are intrigued by some of your thoughts on this subject, and they like the way you think, and people maybe need some help with the marital issues, some kind of maybe depression issues. Mm-hmm. You work on all kinds of things with people. Right. You're not only a counselor, you're also a life coach, so you help people solve planning issues, yep. I guess, even in their life. So if people need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these podcasts, and I have offices in Edmonds and Kirkland. And yes, I do counseling and coaching. That's my...
Okay, that is your expertise, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Back with more of Sound Mind and some reminiscing, some philosophizing from Daniel in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Now, this leads us to a discussion of the ministry of pain, for one thing. People say, if there were a God, why is there so much pain? Imagine if you turned on a stove burner and you put your finger on it until it burned and you say, ouch, if there were a God, why would there be so much pain? Well, you would people would look at that and say, well, that's ridiculous. It's not a question of metaphysics. It's a question of physics. You turned on the stove, and you put your finger on it, and it brought pain. And we could ask ourselves the question about that pain. Why does my finger hurt when it burns? You say, because the burner was hot. That's only part of it. That's only the rock. Where's the hard place, you see? The fact that my finger burns and the fact that it hurts, the pain, has to do not so much with the temperature of the stove, but with the fact that imminent within my physical body is a response system, a system that responds to stimuli, and a system that responds to negative stimuli with pain. And the reason that I have pain is because of the system that's resonant within. Now, that system is there whether the stove is on or off. It's just like I don't have the flu right now. If I do get the flu, there's a system within my body that's imminent within the physics of my body that will resist the flu, fight the virus. But that system is there whether the virus is present or not. The virus activates the system. You say, why is there pain? Because the system is activated. The resistance system is activated. Now, take this into the metaphysical realm, and it should reflect something very similar. Why is there emotional, or you could say spiritual pain in the world? So people say, if there were a God, would there be so much pain? It's the same question and the same answer. Within the metaphysical, spiritual side of humanists, there is imminent a response system to things that aren't quite right. And you could say, or you could say, if there was a God, why is there joy in the world? Because resident within the human realm of human spirituality, there is an innate system that responds to good stimuli. Now that system is there whether good things are happening or not, just like the system that responds to bad stimuli is there whether the bad stimuli is there or not. But the bad stimuli activates it. So, why is there pain in the world? Because of an innate system in the metaphysical reality of our existence. And this is particularly true of the body of Christ, which I'll get to in a minute. But there's this innate system within us that responds to stimulus in the metaphysical realm. Things that are not, that's why there's pain. Not because there is no God, but because there is a God, and this system within us, very much like an immune system, you could call it an immune system in a sense, it's the immune system is there, whether it's stimulated or not. But sin, which is contrary to God and contrary to this, to the purpose of this system, or contrary to the survival of the system, is attacked by the system, very much like the immune system, where if there's a virus enters the body and it's contrary to the body will attack it, and you'll get a fever and all the things that go with that, kind of that neurological or warfare that's going on in your body. So the same. What I said that I would get to this in a minute, the specificity of this whole thing being true about the body of Christ. The body of Christ has a central nervous system because it's not an analogy. It's a living organism, and just like your physical body has a central nervous system, the metaphysical body of Christ has a real central nervous system, and the neurotransmission within that central nervous system is prayer. Prayer is the neurotransmission within the central nervous system of the body of Christ, which is not an analogy. It is a metaphysical reality. It is a living organism, living in two ways, living because we are physical beings. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit for a time being, for this temporal time, and also because we have this eternal spiritual life, a metaphysical life, but not an analogy, an actual metaphysical life. And this immune system is resident within that, and this central nervous system, prayer being the neurotransmission, so that if one member hurts, we all hurt. If you don't hurt when another member hurts, you're looking at the body of Christ from a secular worldview. You're looking at the body of Christ like an analogy. Now, we're not through with that discussion. You can see that could go on for a long ways. But let's for now just bring it back to this idea of creating the spouse you can't love. Do you see how in creating the spouse that you can't love, your world is so small, it's all about you, it's focused on you, it's selfish, it's protective, and you have missed the entire point that you are involved, if you're a Christian, you're part of not an analogy, but a metaphysical reality. You're not functioning in it. You're like the finger on the hand that's been cut off and says, I don't need the body. And you're dead. You're not alive at all. You're not aware at all. You're totally on the wrong track. And this is why I say in the beginning that these people who distance themselves in relationships, whether it be marriage or the body of Christ, and they create a spouse in marriage that they can't love because they're self-interested and they're egocentric. And the reason they do this is because, in fact, they do not have a Christian worldview, but they have a secular worldview. And in order to heal that, a counselor can't talk to them and persuade them to do a better job in their marriage because their worldview needs to be entirely changed, a complete paradigm shift.
And again, yes, things sound a little different this week on the Sound Mind Show. Daniel recording some thoughts with his MP3 player recently about a recent subject we did on the Sound Mind Show. And Daniel, you are quite a philosophical person. And people like the way you think. Why were you thinking this way on this subject? What was it that you think needed to be restated?
Well, you know, sometimes I found that spontaneous thoughts can be provocative and insightful. So for about 6 years, I've been on the radio, and I've been airing topics regarding mental health and marriage And these, for the hearer, those are the forefront of my work. It's what I do, counseling and coaching. But in the back of my mind, there are always a number of ideas that are continually merging and aligning with Scripture in really in profound ways. I find different scriptures just kind of in a new light when I have some of these thoughts. And so I just thought I would take the time to record some of those impromptu thoughts. And material then that you've heard are those thoughts. But I hope that the suggested relationship in what you've just heard, relationship between emotional pain and the body of Christ, I hope it at least provokes listeners to rethink the nature of those things. One of the things I've done in counseling a lot, when most of my clients are Christians, and I find that sometimes we treat Scripture like a Band-Aid, which it's not. And I find that the Scripture doesn't just have answers, but depth of wisdom. Scriptures really do have the answers to our mental issues and our relational issues. But we have to understand the Scripture in the context of our life, our world, the way we live our life, and then come to understand that it applies to life the way we live it, and Scripture's not otherworldly, not right here, right now,
very relevant to our lives.
Very relevant.
Well, you are the Bible-based counselor, and have you written some books too?
I have a lot of writings, not a book yet. That's kind of like the Matterhorn for me.
But you do have a counseling another website separate from Bible-based counselor.
Yeah, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And as a matter of fact, I recently, in the archives, I was going to mention an article that I just placed in the archives that was The Current. And that was, I think that was on medication, what medications really do. And what I have there now, quite a long article, And it's related to the series that I previously finished, somewhat related to that, and it's about sex and marriage. I hope people aren't getting tired of hearing that, because sex and marriage, because we're going to return to that topic from time to time.
Oh, yes,
I think we've had enough of it for a while, don't you?
I think people like this, and it's helpful, and if you like to help people, that's what you're all about, being a counselor. If people do need help, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Office is in Kirkland and Edmonds. The podcasts are, again, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, always great stuff from life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.